join Mike and welcome you to the service tonight. We're in the book of Titus, and if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to chapter 2, I will read the first five verses this evening, and I entitled this, Hang in There, and one of the reasons will become very obvious in just a few moments, I think. The last two messages have been tough messages. They've been difficult messages. The first one, 2 weeks ago, I talked about men that God uses and the qualifications of a man who can stand before a congregation and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that's found in chapter 1, beginning in verse 5 and following. And last week, I talked about men whom Satan uses. And we talked about false prophets and those who are counterfeit Christians and counterfeit preachers. So chapter 1 was basically about ministers. Chapter 2 is going to be more about members. If chapter 1 was about the pulpit, chapter 2 is more about the pew, the people in the pew instead of the preacher in the pulpit. And in chapter 2, we're going to be encouraged because the very first verse of chapter 2 says, But as for you, and you can be both singular and it can be plural, and here the Greek word is a plural word. It is not you, just you, it is all of you. But for all of you, he is saying, teach what accords with sound doctrine. And the reason he begins chapter 2 with that verse is because chapter 1 was such a contrast. He spoke about men God chooses who preach sound doctrine. And then he spoke about men Satan uses who speaks of heresy and those things that are not familiar with Scripture and that are not sound in doctrine. And so now he comes to chapter 2 and says, having dealt with godly men and counterfeit preachers, I want to challenge all of you to teach what accords with sound doctrine. Now, look at the first word of verse 2, or the first two words, older men, and verse 3, older women. So while the other two messages were hard for a reason, this one is hard for another reason, but I want to go on record tonight to clarify who is older, and I have finally figured that out. An elderly person is a person who is about 15 years older than you are. So we have no elderly people among us tonight. They're all 15 years older than you are. Another person said that the signs of approaching age was baldness, bifocals, bridges, and bulges. Do I have a witness? And then somebody else said the following, everything that works hurts, and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. You know you're old when you feel like the morning after and you haven't been anywhere. I like this one. You know you're old when your little black book only contains names ending in MD. Marlo and Michael, especially for you, since you're in here in Lori's in choir tonight, you know you're getting old when your children are beginning to look middle-aged. And you know you're getting old when your mind makes contracts that your body can't keep. And here's one for Maggie and me. You know you're getting old when you really look forward to a dull evening at home. Can I get another witness? You know you're getting old when your knees buckle, but your belt won't. And when your back goes out a lot more than you do. You know you're getting old when you sink your teeth into a steak and they stay there. And one of my favorites, you know you're getting old when you know all the answers, but nobody is asking the questions. And in my attempt to make being older men and women a little bit lighter tonight, let me give you a great poem. My deafness I endure, to dentures I'm resigned, Bifocals I can manage, but oh, how I miss my mind. So he begins verse 2 by saying this, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children and to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Heavenly Father, as we think about growing older, may we also think about growing up, growing in grace, growing in the strength and the knowledge of our Lord, growing in spiritual maturity, growing in worth and usefulness. And may most of all we think about burning out for Jesus instead of rusting out. May we keep on keeping on until the trumpet sounds, till our Lord calls us home one way or the other. And may we do this because Jesus is worthy, and because, Father, you've called us to be men and women of biblical integrity. And Holy Spirit, you filled us that we might be able to do what we've been called to do and be who we've been called to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I want to cover two thoughts: the character of aged men, verse 2, and the conduct of aged women, verse 3 and following. Next week, beginning in verse 6, we'll talk about the charge to younger men. And then finally, in this verse and passage, we'll talk about the counsel for Christian workers. They're called slaves here, but obviously there are those who work for an employer. So for tonight, the two thoughts that we have: the character of aged men. First, he addresses this. He said, aged men, older men, are to have a spiritually settled life. That is, you and I, if we are growing as we ought to grow, will be men whose lives will be settled. We will know, and we will know that we know, who we are, whom we serve, and what we believe. And I want to challenge all of us tonight. We have a few children in here. Brother David's gone to camp with quite a few of our children, and we have a few teens, and we have a few young folks. But none of us are as young as we used to be, and all of us are getting older as the days go by. And while I jokingly said the older men are those who are 15 years older than whoever you might be, the truth is, some of us have reached the age that if we're ever going to count for Christ, we'd better get busy. If we're ever going to do what God has laid before us in His plan and purpose for our lives, we'd better get busy. Some of us are expecting others of us to do what all of us ought to be about. That is the Father's business. So everybody here from the stage to the floor, everybody here tonight has been called to be a person of settled character. You know who you are. You know who you belong to. And you know what you believe. Here's how Paul describes it to Titus. He said, first of all, men ought to be sober-minded. Now, that does not mean that they ought to be alcohol-free in their mind, not sober as alcohol-free. Sober-minded here means a person who knows what their priorities ought to be and sets them in a proper place. Jesus taught this in the Sermon on the Mount when he simply said that every last one of us ought to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else would be added to us. Now listen to me. Older men ought not to worry. Now, I don't mean older men by age, because older men by age can worry. What I do mean is men who have come to a spiritually settled place in their lives ought to trust God with all their heart and lean not on their own understanding, and in all their ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. Older men, maturing, spiritually settled men ought to have their priorities in order. And I'm going to be quite honest with you. I know that the Wednesday night group is a faithful group in the church. But I want to tell you something. Our priorities always begin with God. He's never second fiddled or second best. He's always first in our lives. And if and when God becomes first, all other things will have a way of falling into place. We love our kids. We love our grandkids. We love our spouses. And yet God is above all. And when God is above all, the kind of love we ought to have for our spouses and our children and our grandchildren will always be the kind of love it ought to be. Because God gives us an enhanced love, a superlative love, an agape love, a love that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So a spiritually settled life is a man who's got a sober mind. His priorities are in order. He further says, not only sober-minded, but he says he's dignified. That is, he's a man of seriousness in all the right places. I told you a few things I thought was kind of humorous, and I'm glad some of you laughed, because I think laughter is a good medicine for the soul. And there is a time and there is a place where we ought to laugh and enjoy life and have a lot of fun. But there's also a serious-mindedness that we ought to have that brings us to the place where we understand what really matters most in life. We laugh at what's funny. We cry at what's sad. What's wrong with our world is that the world laughs at what's sad and cries at what's funny. The world takes seriously the minors and lets go of the majors. And God is calling on us to be men of integrity, dignified, serious people who know what is right, who know what is valuable, who know what is worthwhile, who know what is important, who know what's vital, who know what real living is all about. By the time you have grown up in the Lord, you ought to stop existing and enduring and begin experiencing the abundant life that Jesus Christ said He loved you and gave His life for you so that you could have. He not only says sober-minded and dignified, He said there needs to be a sense of self-control where our desires and our passions are under control. Now, let me just go ahead and say what I'm thinking. I wrestle and struggle with this as much as most men do. But by the time we have become older in the Lord, we ought to learn a sense of contentment. That means we don't have to have everything everybody else has. We don't have to be envious. We don't have to feel like we're less than if our neighbor or our friend or someone else has more, does more, gets more out of life. We need to come to the place where we believe this, that our God will supply all of our needs through Christ Jesus the Lord. And if God chooses for me to have it, I'll rejoice and enjoy it. But if God chooses for you to have it and not me to have it, I ought to be spiritually mature enough that I can overcome my desires and passions by simply trusting that God has never left me, He's not going to leave me, and that all my needs are going to be met through Jesus Christ the Lord. That won't get you many amens in many churches, but it's the truth. We need to have a little bit of self-control. We don't need to be reckless when we grow up. We need to be settled in our spiritual life. Number two, the character of an aged man. We need to have a spiritually sound life. And here's where we need to learn this. We need to be sound in our faith. That means we need to be grounded and we need to be growing. The moment you believe you know it all is the moment you stop growing. One of the strangest things that happens to men, and I'll get to women in a few moments, is that as we age, we lose a sense of a teachable spirit. I can't learn anything else. I've been through this. I don't need to know anything else. I've had that experience. Listen, as long as you are breathing God's air on this earth, you need to have a teachable spirit. You understand what I'm saying? And I'll tell you who will teach you something if you'll watch them. The children. You say, well, if I'm old and mature and experienced and I've read every book in the Bible and I've read it through several times, don't I? No, just watch the children. Children will teach you innocence and honesty and unconditional love. Children will show you how easy it is to forgive and how quick it is to make friends and how some things don't matter and what does matter is worth pitching a fit for. You understand what I'm saying? We need to be sound. We need to know who we are, who we belong to, and what we believe. We need to be grounded in the Word of God. It is a pitiful shame if anyone in this room or anyone whose membership is at Central Church does not know and know that you know the cardinal doctrines of the faith. That you could have lived 20, 30, 40, 50 years and gone to church and professed to be a Christian and could not tell anyone who you are and who you belong to and what you believe. And let me tell you, there's a lot of inspiration and there's a lot of information in this book. And unlike everything else in your life, this book is always true. It is always right. It will always lead you in the right direction. It'll always give you the best advice. It'll always provide solid guidance for your life. You and I need to know that we have a soundness of faith. This next one, it just says in love, but I need to set this up because he begins by saying older men to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love. That word sound can also mean sound in faith, sound in love, sound in steadfastness. And the word sound there means solid. It's the Greek word for solid, not something that can be penetrated, not something that is porous, but something that is solid. You need to be solid in your faith, but you also need to be solid in the love. It says in love, but original language says you need to be sound in the love. Now, what does that mean? Sound in the love? Well, God is love. You need to be sound in the love of God. You know, and I've taught you this for years, that there are several Greek words for the word love. You can use the word eros. We get the word erotic. It's a sensual, sexual kind of love. You can use the word philios. It's like Philadelphia, brotherly love. It's an acquaintance. I know him. I know about him. That's an acquaintance. That's Philadelphia, brotherly love. But when you use the word agape, that is the supreme, superlative love. No love is greater than the love of God. And here's what he's saying to older men. He said, you need to be sound in that love. You need to be capable of loving people with that kind of love. I wish everybody was here, because I don't mean this for any of you, but you can tell others what I'm saying. If we were sound in that kind of love, there's a whole lot of things some of us say, some of us do, and how we treat others that would stop immediately. Facebook would shut down if Christians got sound in that kind of love. Gossip and backbiting, reputations being destroyed, people being hurt, that'd stop immediately if we got sound in that kind of love. If we ever started loving people in spite and instead of because, it'd show real Christian growth. And then he says, not only do we need to be sound in faith and sound in love, but sound in steadfastness. That word can be translated sound in perseverance. We need to keep on keeping on. The world will not watch you run the 100-yard dash. They are looking at you for the marathon. They don't want to know what your testimony is when the sun shines bright at noontime. They want to know what your testimony is at the midnight hour when the storm is raging and it looks serious and difficult for you. The world wants to see some perseverance out of Christians. Not up one day and down the next, but constancy and consistency in the Christian life. The character of aged men. Men, you can rest for a moment. Verse 3 starts the following. Older women, likewise. So let's talk about the conduct of aged women, verse 3 and following. Number one, he says it needs to be a life of holiness. A life of holiness. Wish I could say what I feel about this, but I really don't know how to say it, so I'm going to start and see if God will lead me to the right place. All of us, pastors included, have lost the sense of holiness that once existed in our world. The sense of holiness that reverenced God and God alone. The mishmash of America these days, the invasion of religions and idolatry and all kinds of things that have come to our land have stolen, not just from outsiders, but even from insiders, a sense of pure holiness. The fact that some of us can sit and be entertained by ungodliness proves we've lost a sense of holiness. The fact that we can support men and women who disclaim and dishonor the cause of Jesus Christ means we've lost a sense of holiness. Do you understand what it means when the Word of God says, come out from among them and don't even touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you? A sense of holiness needs to return in aged women, elderly women, older women. He says concerning you, you need to be holy. You need to be reverent in your behavior. Not only a holy life, which means communion with God and commitment to God, but then he speaks about the home life. He says you need to be a loving wife. You need to be a loyal wife. And he says you need to be a teacher of those who have not yet learned how to be loving and loyal. And I want to tell every young lady in our midst, you ought to have an older lady in your life that you trust, that you honor, that you believe in, that you can share your heart with, and that will love you back and pray for you. I tell my life group class quite often that every Christian needs two people in their lives. One person that you can share your heart with and they'll mentor and help you. And another person you can share your life with as you mentor and help them. So that's something that we ought to give consideration tonight. But especially here, does it say to the older women, and that's not necessarily in age, that's in biblical experience and maturity. The older women, those with biblical experience and maturity, ought to be able to share with and teach the younger how to grow and be nourished in the things of God. And so, young ladies, let me just say this to you. Seek out someone. You don't know it all. You haven't been through everything. It'll take you quite a while to have the experiences of life that will get you to the place where you can help others. But right now, younger women, you need biblical help. This world will do their best to fit you into their mold, their fashion, and their fancy. But you need to break that chain. And you need to find somebody who will teach you the things of God. Let me share one more thing. Not only a holy life and a home life, but he talks about an honorable life. The last thing that he says, so that the word of God may not be reviled. Why should all of this come to pass? Because this old book is worthy of being followed. It's the lamp that'll light your feet. It's the guidebook, the roadmap that'll get you home. It's everything that you and I need to be everything God has called us to be. Well, let me close tonight with reading to you a prayer. There's some humor to it, but there is so much truth dripping from it that I hope you'll excuse the humor here at the last part of the message. Here's the prayer. Lord, keep me from the habit of thinking I must say something on every subject, on every occasion. Release me from craving to straighten out everybody else. Keep my mind free from the recital of endless details. Give me wings to get to the point. I ask for grace enough to listen to the tales of others' pain without trying to top their story. Help me to endure with patience. Seal my lips on my own aches and pains. They're increasing, and my love of rehearsing them is becoming sweeter as the days go by. But teach me this glorious lesson that occasionally it is possible that I might be mistaken. Keep me reasonably sweet. I don't want to be a saint. Some of them are hard to live with. I don't want to be a sour old person. That's the crowning work of the devil. So give me the ability to see good things in unexpected places and talents in unexpected people. And give me, O Lord, the grace to encourage and to tell people I love them and that they've done a good job and that I couldn't do without them. Make me thoughtful, but not moody, helpful, but not bossy. And here it is as I close. With my vast store of wisdom, it seems a pity not to use it all. But thou knowest, Lord, that I still need a few friends. God help us to grow old gracefully and to hang in there. I don't want to rust out doing nothing. I want to burn out doing everything I can for the glory of God. Let's stand together. Mike and I will meet you in the altar. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we'd love to tell you how. If you need to profess Him and follow Him in baptism, we'd love to give you that opportunity. If there's somebody or something on your heart you want to pray about, our altar is open. If you'd like to become a part of our church family, you can come too.